our text this morning, shows a scene that would rival anything Cecil B. DeMille, the great cast of thousands film director, ever produced. Imagine John's excitement when he was swept up in this heavenly vision. Having been exiled to lonely continent, he is given suddenly a vision that is so great, a multitude so large, that no one could take its chances. What a contrast. It would sort of be like comparing the great crowd of a Super Bowl to the fans at a Tuesday afternoon Sun baseball game. Or like comparing the joyful throng of the first chapel of the academic year to, well, this morning. But John has other contrasts for us. Chapter 13 gives us a glimpse of heaven. Now the chapters continuing it though show what life is like on this earth as we wait for the return of our Lord and Savior. Here in time, John sees the church in great tribulation, haunted, persecuted, and seemingly crushed. But in eternity, the church will be gathered around the throne of the Almighty, favoring his complete victory for us. Previously, we had some idea where the saints were. Some from here and some from there. Some came from the Bronx and some from Broken Bow. There was a church in Calcutta and one in Kalamazoo. But in heaven, we will come from all over, from every nation and tribe, from every people and every tongue. Now, the church seems so small. But then those gathered by the Lamb of God will be innumerable. And there we will see that God has kept his promise to Abraham, and we will be part of it. Now before someone declares, oh, come on, let's be practical. Let's realize that life in God's hands today is life before the throne. Life is part of that great multitude, and life in praise of God who loves us and is our salvation. And surely part of the reason for the book of Revelation is not only to warn Christians of the trying times ahead, but also to say there's something greater and something better waiting at the end. But certainly, we as pastors do want to encourage our little children to look forward with beaming eyes and thoughts of seeing Jesus, who loves me, just I know. And certainly we as shepherds of God's flock should support the old grandmas in our congregation in awaiting that day in eternity, when they can again sing with a clear voice and praise God from whom all blessings flow, the strength they once had. Too often we are practical. We think more of confirmation classes and communion services, of early church history and early church services. But this morning our text beckons us beyond these things. In our scripture lesson that we read previously, we see history completed and God's people before his throne. The apostle is given a vision of the people of God, and he sees that they are all just alike, in eternal size, in uniform, for they have all received their salvation truth from their Lord and Savior, from the resurrection which assures their rising. The Catholic and purpose, the business truth, and the prison grave have all been bleached clean in that baptismal time. Repentant fornicators, sorrowful misers, and penitent sloths, all garbed in that gleaming garment which is purchased at such a price on Calvary. Sin, guilt, and iniquity are all washed away with that spiritual boil, which is the blood of the Lamb. And because of that action so long ago, in the center of history, that death of our Savior on the cross, you and I, too, can stand. before the Lamb of God at the end of history, knowing that what we learn in this place to proclaim and what we believe has indeed occurred. Yes, in those great days of eternity, we shall praise God. We shall praise Him for who He is, one to whom praise and glory are due by that innumerable crowd for an everlasting course. For in His unfathomable wisdom, He has put aside that power and strength, that should be directed against us. You and I, sinners as we are, one of those rebellious crowds who dare approach His throne, but that power and strength which He used against His own Son, that sacrifice lamb, so that we might give thanks to Him and honor to Him for pardoning our sins. Reckon in those great days of eternity, we shall praise God for what He shall do, for never again shall we hunger, never again shall we thirst. The sun shall not beat upon us, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb will be at the center of the throne, and He will be our shepherd. He will lead us to streams of living water, and He shall wipe every tear from our eyes. And so, my friends, when in our various ministries we're dealing with fellow believers, let's not become discouraged. Now, certainly, there will be greater tribulations and the frustrations we will see in our ministry. But let's not become discouraged in these things, but look forward to the day when God will perfect His people. When I'm vicared that particular seventh grade confirmand continually needs discipline, let's look to the day when we will stand with Him before God's throne. When on our first call, it seems like the 20th and the 100th evangelism call ends in frustration. Remember that in heaven, we won't even be able to count the saints. We understand it, but it seems there's no time for prayer and devotional life because we're trying to earn next year's tuition. Let's know that when eternity comes, the angels shall teach us to praise God. That phrase, which stirs to mind Handel's great finale to the Messiah, praise and glory, wisdom, thanks, honor, and power and blessing be unto Him